message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
It's good to have you with us today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will be a rich blessing and benefit to you. We want to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God by getting into the Bible and trying to show you how to understand it and study it for yourself. As a pastor and a teacher, my goal is to teach people not to need me to teach them, but rather to equip people to study the Scripture for themselves so they can understand it and understand how to get the information out of it for themselves and stand on their own two feet. Now, that doesn't mean that people won't want you. It just means they don't need you. They're not dependent. Instead of being children dependent on someone else for their sustenance and spiritual strength and their understanding, you can be an adult. You can stand on your own two feet and then work side by side with other adults in the work of the ministry, a perfected saint doing the work of the ministry. Now, let me say one thing to you before we go on. And by the way, today we're going to talk about the man who followed Judas Iscariot. That's a topic that is very controversial. Following Judas would be, everybody knows who Judas Iscariot is, and following him would be quite a controversial thing. And there's a man in the Bible who does follow him. But let me say one thing to you before we get into the Bible study. I understand that this program goes out to a lot of homes where maybe you're watching and you're not necessarily a believer. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior. The Bible is of no interest to you. You don't know the joy of having all of your sins forgiven, being able to stand before Almighty God in a completely accepted way. The guilt and the weight of sin perhaps still weighs on your conscience. Perhaps you're bound by sin, and you think, how can I just be free? And you look at life as though you're trapped and boxed in, and there's no way out. Well, may I say to you that the Bible says, Jesus says, whosoever is a servant of sin, whosoever committed sin, rather, is the servant of sin. But then he turns right around and says in the next couple of verses, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you want to be free, free from guilt, free from the chains of habit and the earthy pull of sin, folks, the way you get free from error is through truth. The way you're made free from sin is through the truth. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the way you have His life is by taking God's Word and believing God's Word and resting in what God's Word says about salvation, about what His Son has done when He died at Calvary to be your Savior. Salvation is not through quitting something and starting something else. It's not through going to church. It's not through keeping commandments or giving to the United Fund or treating your family right and a bunch of 101 other good things to do. Salvation is simply recognizing that after you've done every good thing you can do, you still come short of the glory of God. You know, we have this thing about comparing ourselves with one another. You can always find somebody that's better than you. You ever notice that? But you can always find somebody you're better than. And it depends on which side of the bed you get up in the morning as to which one you look at, you know? If you get up on the wrong side of the bed, you know, and you want to look at the guy that's worse than you are so you can excuse what you're doing. And that's what most of us do, you know. Well, you know, I might do this, but I don't do that, you know, that kind of thing. And we do that, and that's the way we are. And you can always find somebody that's worse off than you are, that's less than you are morally or any other way. Problem is, you can always find somebody that's better than you are, so you know you haven't attained yet. And the real problem is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's where the rub is. Because the guy we're better than or the guy we're not as good as, they don't really have the ability to call us into account. But every one of us should give account of ourselves to God. And you see, it's God that we have to face. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And that's where the rub comes in. And you see, God loves us. God, He understands our situation, and His desire is not to condemn us. He says through the prophet to Israel, he said, why would you die? Why would you die? Why would you die? I mean, I've provided life. I've set before you life, and there's death that you're... Choose life. God's given a way out, and the way out is His truth. That's why we study the Scripture. You can see in these Bible studies, as we study the Bible, you can see the difference between religion and what God says if you listen carefully. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I know something about you. I know you can spot phonies quicker, usually, than Christians can. Christians get this little blind spot where they think anything that talks about the Lord, you know, must be okay. But unsaved people can spot phonies sometime a lot quicker. They can see them. And maybe you see people out there in religion and you say, well, I said, but listen, they're not the issue. They don't stand, you're going to stand before God and give account of yourself. And the good news is that God Almighty loved you and Christ died for you. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, God commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God's love, God's value and esteem for you is not tied to your financial situation, your job situation, your family relations, your health. It's not tied to any of that. It's tied to one thing, and that's when Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died to pay for everything that's wrong with you. That's where God's love is commended for you. God Almighty Himself stepped out of heaven's glory down here into earth's midnight, entered into time and human history, and went to a cross and took the penalty and the weight and the load and the wrath and the punishment and the guilt of your sin on Himself. And Christ died for you. The wage of sin is death. And Christ died for you. The Bible says God made Him to be sin for us. He took my sin and your sin and placed it on the soul of His Son and punished His Son in my stead and in your stead. And He did it that He might make us the righteousness of God in Him. You know what that is? That's good news. That's what I need. I need God's righteousness. I don't need my righteousness. I don't need to clean up and do better. If I cleaned up and did better the rest of my life, I'd still have the past to deal with. So would you. I need God's righteousness. How about you? But now the righteousness of God is manifest, being witnessed, manifest without the law, without me having to work and try to accomplish it, being witnessed by even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And it's unto all and upon all them that believe. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, what you need to do today is to trust Him. You need to rest by faith. Take God at His word. Believe what God says. Trust what God says. Believe the truth and let the truth set you free. Set you free from your sin. Set you free from religious bondage. Set you free in Him, in Christ. If you've never done that, I hope you'll do it today. Do it right now. The instant you do it, God will save you. And then you can get into the Word of God and find out all the wonderful things God gave you when He gave you the gift of everlasting life. Now, I say that because I know that many that watch this program aren't believers, aren't saved, and we're not unmindful of you being there. We know you are. But the primary focus of this program is to talk to people about what the Bible actually says. And so we study the Bible, and it's believers who get the truth out of the Bible, get the information out of the Scripture, and it's as believers we study the Scripture. But I want you to know you're welcome. We want you to watch. We want you to be here every week, right here with us, even if you're not a believer, in order that you can see the truth of God's Word, because that's the only answer, and it's the only hope, and it's for you. God sends it out to you, and He wants you to have it and understand it. So as we study and we get involved in the details of it, I hope you can see from my interest in it, the fact and the interest of all these people that helped produce this program and want to get it out and put it on your station, you can see that our interest in these details, how important and meaningful all these things are and how God's Word is so wonderfully and marvelously understood as we study it God's way. We don't need religion, certainly don't need tradition. We don't need all the things that men use to put forth their own ideas. We need what God says in His book. And as we have that, we have the truth. So I want you to know that you're welcome today, and I'm glad you're here. And I hope you'll watch every time this program's on your station. Mark the time down and remember where to find us on the dial and the time. Now, we want to talk about the man who followed Judas. In Acts chapter number 1, we'll find him. Acts chapter number 1, it begins in verse number 15. And of course, what we're talking about is the man who was going to replace Judas Iscariot among the 12 apostles. Acts 1:15 says, "In those days, Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." You remember that Judas hung himself. "And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Judas Iscariot had been chosen to be one of the apostles. Jesus says, "You 12 have I chosen, and one of you is a devil." And Judas was the one that betrayed him. Satan entered into Judas, and Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. After he had betrayed him, went down to the religious leaders. The religious crowd is the crowd that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the drunks in the tavern or the thugs on the corner. It was the religious crowd that crucified Jesus Christ. Don't you ever forget that. It was the long-robed, title-bearing religious crowd of the day. The educated, sophisticated, tradition-loving, scholarship-worshipping crowd of religionists that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They betrayed, they bribed Judas to betray him. Judas betrayed him, and after Judas had betrayed him, he was filled with remorse for what he did, and he sought to repent, but he went to the wrong place. He didn't go to the Lord and confess his sins. He went back to the priest and the religious leaders in Israel and confessed to them. And they said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" And he took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it down in the temple, the church floor there, and he left it. And he went out and he hung himself. And they took that 30 pieces of silver, and the pious rascals said that, "Well, we can't put this in the church treasury because it's tainted money, it's blood money, and our traditions, and we want to go by our traditions, you know." I mean, here they are killing God's son. And they're worried about their dumb traditions, religious traditions. That's what religion does. It blinds the mind, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine into you. You need to learn that. Religion blinds people and blinds them to the light, and binds them from the truth, and holds them in error. And so they took that 30 pieces of silver, went out and bought a pauper's field, gave it to the charity to buy a pauper's field to bury people in. And that's what he's talking about. And Peter is saying that Judas was a part of the 12, one of the apostles, and he's fallen. And that all of that happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled. In other words, the scriptures in the Old Testament had prophesied and foretold about Judas doing those things. And therefore, what the scripture said, and that is that let his habitation be desolate, he'll fall out of it, and let another man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore these men, he says, we've got to do what the scripture says. The scripture says that we have to fill Judas's place. Somebody else has to come in and take his place. Now, there are a couple of interesting things about that. It's interesting to me that Peter understood those scriptures. He says in verse 16, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas Iscariot. And then he quotes Psalm chapter 69. And then he goes on down in the passage and quotes Psalm 41. He quotes that back in verse 16. And he quotes these passages that are rather obscure, a little hard to understand. You could read them a long time and not know they refer to Judas until you get to Acts 1. And it's real interesting to me that Peter understood those passages. Because if you go back to Luke chapter 18, and here's why it's kind of odd. Go back with me to Luke chapter number 18. Luke 18, verse 31. Then Jesus took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, I go up to Jerusalem, and all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now notice what's going on. Jesus Christ His earthly ministry starts back here, and it runs for a period of 3.5 years in here. And it's recorded in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At the end of those books, he dies in here. Now, in Luke 18, you're back here in his earthly ministry. And he's talking to the 12 now, and he says, it's time for me to go to Jerusalem, and to all things that the scripture says are going to be fulfilled. I'm going to go up there, I'm going to be scourged and beaten, rejected, then I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again the third day. Just like the scriptures back here, and the prophets back here, have foretold that I'm going to do. Now, verse 34, and they, the 12, understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken. When he tells the 12 about the fact that the scriptures have foretold that he's going to die, be buried, and raised again, be rejected by Israel, killed, and be raised again, they don't understand it. They're not aware that the prophets, and he's spent now, folks, 3.5 years teaching these people. But they're still not aware that he's going to die. John chapter 20. Another strange passage. John 20. You see, if what people say, if what you are generally told is about the earthly ministry of Christ is true, that is, that he was going about telling people that he was going to die on the cross for their sins, and then he went and died on the cross, and that Peter and all these people preached about Jesus dying, you know, being their Savior, going to die on the cross. If that's true, that verse right there is just out of line. That verse says these men back here in his earthly ministry aren't even aware that he's going to go to Calvary and die, much less be resurrected. But that isn't the half of it. John chapter 20, verse number 8. This is the day of the resurrection. He's been down for 3 days. Now he's come up. He's been resurrected. On the day of his resurrection, Peter and John go to the tomb following Mary. And it says in verse 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed what Mary said about Christ being gone. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Here he is, he's already died. He's already resurrected, and over here, after his resurrection, they still don't know that the scriptures prophesied that he had died and be resurrected. Well, how come then on the day of Pentecost over here in Acts, it's before Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, Christ spends 40 days with them, and then he ascends into heaven. The 40 days are in here, then he ascends into heaven, and immediately, before the Holy Spirit comes over here, Peter, in this place right here, is saying, we've got to do what the Scripture says. And he goes back and quotes Psalm 41, Psalm 69, and he begins to expound these things. If he didn't understand that Christ was going to die and be resurrected, how in the world did he know all this stuff about Judas? Well, the answer is in Luke 24. Luke chapter number 24. Luke 24, verse number 44. And he said unto them, during this 40-day period here now, Christ says unto his apostles, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day, and so on and so forth. Christ, during this period of time, opens up the Old Testament scriptures to them back here so they understand all the things that they didn't previously understand that are written down back here in the prophets. Now they understand. And when you come to Acts chapter number 1, the reason Peter can say, look, these scriptures have to be fulfilled is because Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with them, taught them about how the scriptures predicted that Judas would crucify him, and that after he was that after he'd fallen from his position, would betray him, and that afterwards Judas would have to be replaced. And so when they come over here, they now have an understanding of where they are. And you you need to grasp something, folks. When you're studying the book of Acts, you need to keep an account of where you are in the program of God. And Peter in Acts chapter 1 knows exactly where he is in God's program. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Back here, they don't know. And God had kept that information. He blinded them so that Israel would crucify Christ. But now the revelation is given there, and they do know where they stand in God's program. They know exactly what's going on. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse number 21, Peter says, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time, now notice the qualifications to be the one who follows Judas. Of these men who have companied with us all the time that the Lord went out in among us, beginning with the baptism of John. The man who followed Judas had to begin with the baptism of John and follow with the Lord all through his earthly ministry. Beginning from the baptism of John, under that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. The man that replaced Judas and became the 12th apostle had to begin with the baptism of John to have followed Christ and had to have carried on all the way through until the day he ascended up. That passage does not say that in order to be one of the 12 apostles, you had to be a witness of the resurrection. To be one of the function and the purpose of the 12 apostles, their job was to go be a witness of the resurrection. But to qualify to be the witness of the resurrection, to be one of the 12, you had to begin with the baptism of John and follow with the Lord Jesus, company with those men from John's baptism all the way to the ascension of Jesus Christ. And somebody with those qualifications had to be singled out in order to be the replacement for Judas. Now, the man is there. They appoint two, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, hast known the hearts of all men. You know the hearts of all. Show which of these two thou hast chosen. Past tense. God already knows who he is. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go in his own place. And they gave forth their lots, just like Proverbs chapter 16 says, the casting forth the lots and the disposition is in the hands of the Lord. That's the way Israel, God Almighty gave Israel revelation and wisdom back here. When God took Israel into the land of Canaan, he says, tells them back there in Numbers 26:55, that the dividing of the inheritance is going to be by the casting of lots. Proverbs 16:33, he says that God's going to decide through the casting of lots how he reveal his will. Just like he had the stones in the breastplate. This was one of the ways that God communicated with Israel in time past. He doesn't communicate with us that way today. You can't roll the dice. You can't cast lots. You can't pull the Urim and the Thummim out because God's given you a complete revelation and everything he'll ever want you to know is found in the written word of God. But they didn't have a written word of God yet. They didn't have the complete revelation, so there was this means of communicating. And the lot fell on Judas, and they gave forth the lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, rather, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And then the Holy Spirit, who replaced Judas? A man by the name of Matthias did. Now, there's a great controversy about that, because later on, Jesus Christ from heaven's glory reaches down and saves a guy by the name of Paul, and makes Paul an apostle. Now, there are 12 apostles over here. Matthias makes the 12th. And somebody says, well, no, Matthias is a mistake. It ought to have been Paul. But folks, Paul doesn't qualify. Understand something. The man that followed Judas was not Paul. The man that followed Judas is Matthias. And Paul doesn't qualify. Why? Two easy reasons. Number one, Paul did not begin with the baptism of John and company with him to the ascension of Christ. He couldn't qualify for the job because he doesn't meet the job description. You go down and fill out a job application, and that job application says certain kind of requirements, and you don't meet those requirements, fellas, folks, you just don't apply. You don't qualify for the job, so you don't get the job. Paul doesn't qualify for the job. Matthias did. Somebody says, well, they were just casting high dice and lots. Well, that's just what preachers say when they don't want to let God do what God's doing, let God be right. That book says, let God be true and every man a liar. Anybody tells you that Paul was really the 12th apostle and should have been the apostle, listen, he just called God a liar, because God's word says Matthias was, and God Almighty filled Matthias with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Don't you think the Holy Spirit knew who he was? Sure he did. 1 Corinthians 15, let me show you how he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Christ gave Paul this information, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas. Now watch. He's seen of Cephas in here. Then of the 12. You get that? Paul says Jesus Christ was seen of the 12 apostles during that period of time right there. Now, was Judas there? No. Was Matthias there? Yes. Paul standing over here looking back, he makes Matthias, God the Holy Spirit through the inspiration of Scripture, makes Matthias. He was seen of the 12. The 12 were there. Matthias is counted as one of them in the Scripture. In verse 7 it says, "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, as one born out of due time." You understand, folks, when you come to the Apostle Paul, somebody says, "Well, who in the world is Paul?" Paul is a new apostle. He's not one of the 12. He's a new apostle with a new message, with a new program, with a new dispensation. God changed the program, stopped the ministry of the 12, and introduced a new message through a new apostle. That's why Paul says, "I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." That's why he says that Jesus Christ, by revelation, made known to me the mystery, not the prophetic program, but a secret program that the prophets didn't know anything about, the mystery program that was hid in God from before the foundation of the world, made that known to me to give out to you. You see, God's working today in the dispensation of the grace comes in through this other apostle, this other ministry, and this other message, and that's where we are today, and that's our hope over here in the dispensation of grace given to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. More about that next time. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, "The Man Who Followed Judas." It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's A Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 173. That's tape offer number 173. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you still are not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.